Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. So the new owner of the Carolina Panthers, remember their old owner, Richardson, had to sell the team because I guess he treated women like it was the 1930s all the time. When Richardson sold the team, the new owner bought the team, and his name's David Tepper. What he wants to do in an effort to include South Carolina in the regionally named Carolina Panthers, he said, why don't we have our practice facility and our team offices in South Carolina, 30 miles away from Charlotte.
Okay, where they play.
Yeah, well, and it's much like how the Saints are out in Metairie with where they practice and their offices are out there. This would be a little bit further away, but still they would include both Carolinas in the name, the Carolina Panthers. The owner said, I want to do this, but I want tax breaks, about $120 million worth of tax breaks. Many of the legislators in South Carolina said, all right. But a few of the Democrats, they said, time out, no. They pulled an Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez by saying, why should we give a multi-billionaire $120 million in tax breaks? The reason why you do that is because you now put something there, and we're talking about not just a practice facility and offices, hotels, and they would, what it would do for business in that town, and that town is called Rock Hill, South Carolina. It's right on the edge there of North Carolina, but it would be an incredible financial boom for Rock Hill, South Carolina. And when some of the Democratic lawmakers there said, well, why should we give this guy $120 million worth of tax breaks for putting our team there, for putting the practice facilities there and the offices there, new owner of the Carolina Panthers, David Pepper, said, well, I could just as well stay in a practice bubble here in Charlotte. And then, but he wanted to do something. He said, yeah, I'll just stay in a bubble in a cafeteria here in Charlotte. I could do that too. So it's up to them. It's up to you all, lawmakers in South Carolina. So that's something that they're arguing about in the South Carolina legislature. Do we want the Carolina Panthers football team? Do we want their headquarters here? Do we want their offices here, their practice facility here? This is where they're going to practice. This is where they're going to come every day. They're only going to go to that place in Charlotte 8 days a year, or if they make the playoffs or if they have a preseason game or two there, 10 or 11 or 12 days a year. They're only going to go to that place that many days. They're going to be here the rest of the year. But some of the lawmakers there in the state of South Carolina, they don't understand why would we give $120 million in tax breaks to this guy. Well, do you realize what that would do? So much more than $120 million it's going to do for Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Right, and the state representative there, he happens to be a Republican. His name is Gary Simrill. He mentions that to have reports come from ESPN and other sports outlets constantly saying, from the practice facilities, with the Panthers in Rock Hill, South Carolina. I mean, what else is going on? Yeah, I don't think I've ever been to South Carolina.
I've never heard of it until we started talking about this story.
Well,
today.
You've heard of the state of South Carolina.
But I've never heard of Rock Hill.
Never heard of Rock Hill. But, I mean, they've got Myrtle Beach going for them. I know it's a great golf destination.
Hilton Head.
But as far as I can't see. This is one of those things where you have to be myopic you have to be really short-sighted, like an Alexandria or what was her name? AOC.
Ocasio.
Yeah, whatever.
Cortez.
You have to be short-sighted not to jump on this.
Yeah, she chased Amazon out of New York City, her district there in Queens, when She said, why should we give this multi-gazillionaire, why should we give him a few billion dollars in tax incentives to build the brand new Amazon headquarters here in Queens, New York? Well, it's going to make that area and the people in that area much, much, much more than $3 billion. And she didn't understand at first. She thought there was a bank account with $3 billion in it that they were going to write out a check and give it to Jeff Bezos. She had no idea what she was doing.
You say that, and I say that, and I've heard that said. It sounds like, I guess when you and I say it, it sounds like we're being funny for a radio show, but I honestly am starting to think she really thought that.
No, she did.
She thought there was a tangent, liquid asset of $3 billion that was sitting there somewhere in Fort Knox or whatever.
And she didn't understand why would we give these people $3 billion in tax revenue, tax breaks, when we could be fixing the streets and the sidewalks with that money.
You know,
well, I'll tell you, it would have made people around Queens, New York, and other areas in New York City, it would have made a lot more than $3 billion.
You know how, you know, a great way to maybe not get money, but you know a great way to learn how to obtain money and to be successful? Sidle up to people who have money and do what they do. And the 15 legislators who voted against this thing in Rock Hill, South Carolina, they should jump at the opportunity to sidle up next to a David Tepper, a multi-billionaire, and learn anything that they can from him for their constituents.
And they
because I don't see anybody else knocking down the doors of Rock Hill, South Carolina with an opportunity like this.
To do business. And boy, it would be huge. But the lawmakers that are against it in South Carolina, they're stupid. I mean, yeah, it's that simple. And 'cause David Tepper said, look, I want to be there. We'd like to be there. Hopefully they will help us out.
Right.
That's what he's talking about when he's talking about the legislature of the state of South Carolina. Stay tuned, and we'll see you then.
We'll break into music if we have to. I'm
trying to help people here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. Hope you enjoyed your Mother's Day weekend. And if you're a mother listening, such an important job you have. Wild Mother's Day weekend here in the city of New Orleans. Because of the rain Saturday night into Sunday morning.
And in God's country where I live.
New Orleans flooded.
Well, parts of Jefferson flooded.
I got a little bit of water into my place.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't know what happened. I thought it was just I thought I had a wild Saturday night. I woke up on Sunday morning. I saw there was some water in the living room there and in a couple of different spots. And
you sure it was water?
Well, that's what I had to double and triple check. And yeah, it was.
Yeah, a lot of places got it. St. Charles Parish, St. Bernard Parish, Jefferson Parish, parts of the North Shore. Just a wide sweeping system that would come through, and then it'd be beautiful for 2 hours and then rain for six more hours.
Yeah, when it rains really heavy for a bit, that's when obviously we see it. And here in the city, the New Orleans Sewerage and Water Board, the much maligned New Orleans Sewerage and Water Board, one of their pumps went out, and that just happened to happen when it was raining really heavy, and that contributed to some of the flooding. Look, it's just a fact of life. You know it. We live in a city and we live in an area below sea level. It happens. And I think that's what people have gotten used to. It's going to rain. If it rains heavy for a few hours, we're going to get some flooding. I mean, usually when you see people standing outside their homes on a Sunday morning at 6 a.m. drinking a beer, standing in water, It's not because it's a good time. And yesterday on Mother's Day, the city of New Orleans offered free towing to a bunch of people whose cars were flooded and they needed to be towed. It wasn't free towing for Mother's Day. Hey, moms, get your car towed for free. It wasn't that. If your car was flooded, the city of New Orleans. We're gonna tow your car for you. That was nice. Also, over the weekend here in the city, a couple of fires in the French Quarter. On Saturday, the Oceana Grill.
As well as the there's the old New Orleans cookery, and then another establishment affected by that.
The Monkey Place.
That, yes.
Yes. I saw that, and then yesterday, right across from where we are sitting, the hotel across the street on Poydras Street here, Le Meridian, caught on fire yesterday.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, yesterday afternoon. I saw it. I was walking down the street. I saw the smoke. I was like, wow. Not your everyday, average, ordinary Mother's Day weekend here in the city of New Orleans. When, well, I think the flooding part makes it kind of more average. We see that more often. But the flooding and fires.
Ironically.
Yeah, for Mother's Day weekend. So hopefully, I don't know. I know the Oceana fire and the other two businesses there in the French Quarter, I know that was a bit more serious, the damage, than what was done to Le Meridian Hotel here on Poydras Street. But I know authorities are looking into both of those. So start a new week Monday, and put the crazy weekend behind us. I saw that actress Alyssa Milano was taking all kinds of heat. We're gonna get into this coming up on the show. For something she tweeted again over the weekend, but that had nothing to do with why the restaurant chain IHOP got slammed for what they tweeted over the weekend. Did you see that on Mother's Day? And I should, full disclosure here, I like IHOP. I know. I know there are some people that slam it.
Is that really a necessary full disclosure?
Well, I
normally, when people say that, you would follow that up with something like, I happen to be a stockholder, or
no, once in a while I eat their pancakes.
Okay. Full disclosure.
But yesterday on Mother's Day, IHOP, and I think that's their official name now. They don't want pancakes in their name because pancakes, you know, there was a time in this country's history where if you had pancakes in your name, it was a good thing. Not anymore. I mean, because there's nothing good about, I mean, besides the way they taste, there's nothing good about pancakes.
Except for the fact that they serve them still.
Hmm.
Wonder how long that, I'm going to look that up. How long has that been?
But
I think maybe 1994 is when they switched.
IHOP yesterday on Mother's Day received scathing backlash for tweeting a sonogram image of a stack of pancakes inside a womb in honor of Mother's Day. It appeared to be a harmless tweet. IHOP accompanied that picture by writing, quote, if you have pancakes in your tum-tum, does that you a pancake mum-mum? Question mark. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. So that was just their way of saying Happy Mother's Day. Well,
well, delayed reaction on the laugh track there.
Well, with some people, God forbid you put a picture of a womb, and it looks like a sonogram. It looks like the sonogram, but there's pancakes inside of it.
Right. It's someone's actual sonogram. The name has been obliterated there. It's been blacked out. It turns out it's from September 27th, 1995, so this youngster is now 24 years old.
Mm.
Pancake boy or girl. But you know where you're going to go with this. I mean, this is offensive to mothers who have, I mean, not mothers, but women who have lost children. It's not in poor taste. It's just... the benefit cannot possibly outweigh the negativity of this.
Brewster, some people...
No, Brewster, nothing. I'm right. I'm right about this.
Some people are offended by everything.
Well...
Brewster, on Facebook yesterday, I just said the generic Happy Mother's Day. I got somebody sending me in my private messenger, what about the women that can't be mothers? What about them?
Osterlund, well, you don't own a multi-million dollar business. That's the difference.
But Brewster, someone was offended
Brewster, nothing.
On Facebook when I said Happy Mother's Day. That offended,
Osterlund?
That offended some people.
The two don't go together. That has nothing to do with what the point I'm making about people that can be offended by a sonogram used in a flippant, I'll call it, way to sell pancakes. Am I offended by it? No. Can I understand that there are people offended by it? Yes. And I'm making the point, and I am right in this, that IHOP should know better, and that the benefit of this to sell a few extra pancakes by doing something, I don't know if you want to call this, it's not quite snarky, it's just, it's really... Try harder. That's to their social media people, their marketing people, their social media arm. Try harder.
Well, they got slammed for putting that on Twitter. One woman wrote, "I feel comfortable enough in my medical training thus far to confirm that the uterus is not, in fact, connected to the GI tract."
Right. The digestive system. Another response says, IHOP really thinks people are just sliding whole stacks of pancakes down their throat and into their uterus.
No, they don't think that. You think that when you look at that, but what they're doing is they're wishing people, mothers, a happy Mother's Day.
I get it.
Just like I tried to do on Facebook yesterday.
I get it, but it's... Another response says, this would be a take on it goes right to my hips. When I eat pancakes, they go straight to my uterus. Now, that's funny.
Someone wrote, life starts at consumption.
See, I'm wrong for laughing at that. Because that's not funny.
And then somebody here wrote, and what we're talking about right now is what Alyssa Milano tweeted about that got her a ton of backlash, which we're going to talk about coming up. And somebody wrote here, again, one more with the IHOP. And IHOP weighs into the most controversial space in American politics in the last 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
IHOP has to think twice about that. And you know, these companies, we mentioned the fast food chain Wendy's. Whoever is in charge of their Twitter account is very smart,
mm-hmm,
and very witty, because Wendy's, their tweets are something. But here, this one kind of backfired on IHOP, wanting to wish people a happy Mother's Day and then putting it with their
right
with their brand,
right. I get it. I get what they're trying to do. It's just something like that could be use a feather touch and not like a great big heavy cement laden glove. Does that make sense? A little lighter touch here, IHOP. My opinion. Did you know they own Applebee's?
They do.
Was that a night? Was that?
I did not know.
They
that.
Do. Oh, okay.
I had no idea.
And at one time, apparently, they owned Orange Julius. We've had that discussion. I still have never had one of those.
Oh, when I was a kid.
Not down with orange juice and milk.
Oh, geez, when I was a kid, I only went to the mall, not to buy anything. I didn't go to buy any clothes. I just wanted to go to the mall because that's where Orange Julius was.
Yeah, well, I was not allowed to have those because they were too high.
That's
what my dad said. No, it's too high.
All right. Coming up, we are going to get into this latest Alyssa Milano controversy. Her tweet kind of backfired on her, and we'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Collective Soul, they played last night at the Fillmore. Boy, the shows that they're getting there at that new venue that's above Harrah's, which I absolutely love. I think the Fillmore is spectacular. But in like in a 10-day period last week, they had The Cult, Rob Zombie, Garbage, Collective Soul, and there were a couple others there, and it's a fantastic place. It's a great place to see a show. It holds about 2,200 people. There are places you can sit down, which is really neat because I've always loved Tipitina's and I've always loved the House of Blues, but the only issue I ever had was if I ever wanted to sit down, take 5 minutes to go sit down, there really wasn't places to do that at those venues. At the Fillmore here, if you ever get a chance to go see somebody, check that place out. It's beautiful. All right, coming up next on the show, just an absolutely bizarre situation with actress Alyssa Milano and her getting slammed for her tweets over the weekend. We will explain coming up. This is completely bizarre on Bayou 95.7.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. I'll tell you, actress Alyssa Milano in the news again. And, I mean, this woman hadn't made news ever in her life until Donald Trump became president. And then she absolutely lost her mind. She lost it. Like many people who despise Donald Trump as a human being, despise him to the point where their lives aren't the same now because he's president. I think we all have Facebook friends. We all know people. And Alyssa Milano was at the top of that list. One of the things that she tweeted about over the weekend, she's taking a lot of heat for. There's a lot of backlash.
Can I just mention that the first, before the Trump stuff, she came out and was had a lot to say about how she was sexually assaulted at a concert when she was 19. And so really, I think in this current state of her life, I think we first got to hear from her again during the whole Harvey Weinstein thing.
That's Frankenstein.
Well, but that was Trump-related, too, because we elected a man who was on audio recording saying that he just grabs women by the vaginas.
Right, but I think the whole hashtag MeToo and Time's Up brought her to the forefront first, and now it just continues on and on and on with her hatred of Trump.
Well, what she did over the weekend, because she, along with the rest of Hollywood, not happy about a brand new abortion law that was just signed in the state of Georgia. And that's where, I guess she's on some internet television show now. And we had mentioned it the last time she made news. And whatever television show Alyssa Milano is on now, they film it in Georgia. And I think they're moving out, and I think there's a bunch of other TV shows that film in Georgia that are moving out of Georgia because of the latest law that just became law in Georgia. It's the heartbeat law, meaning that if a woman can no longer get a legal abortion in the state of Georgia if the fetus inside of her has a heartbeat. And, you know, Alyssa Milano was very upset about that. You know, they call it women's rights. You know, some people call it killing babies, whatever, wherever you stand in that, whatever. But much of Hollywood now, they're all pulling out of Georgia because of that heartbeat law. And Alyssa Milano took it one step further. She tweeted over the weekend, she said, "Hey, women, be like me. You should all be like me. And let's go on a sex strike to protest these strict abortion laws. Let's go on a sex strike."
And, so why are you doing it?
Well, no, I'm
oh, well, that's...
Let's keep this to Alyssa Milano, not me, please.
Okay.
So she says, join me and we will stop doing sex. That's our way to protest the strict abortion laws. Now, that backfired on her in a couple of ways.
You think?
First and foremost, it backfired on her because some people, the people that are anti-abortion, you know, and Alyssa Milano is pro-abortion, the anti-abortion folks all got back to her saying, finally, abstinence, finally! Finally, you're coming around to our side of the argument. And that's obviously, she didn't mean that, but that's what some people saw when they saw that. Other people said, whoa, 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 I thought you were a feminist and pro-woman. Now you're using sex as a weapon? You're using your vagina as a weapon? Aren't we as women more than this? What are we, walking vagina? Is that what we are? So she got hammered by both sides of the political aisle there, and the political left were the ones that were hammering her for the sex as a weapon.
Alyssa Milano.
I told you, and I've been physically attracted to that woman basically most of my life.
You see where it's gotten you.
But this whew. I never thought I'd feel sorry for Alyssa Milano's husband, but I know what he didn't do over the weekend. And not only is Alyssa Milano getting slammed from people saying, wait a minute, we can't use our vajayjays as traps, as weapons, as we can't be doing that. We're women. We're more than that, Alyssa. She got hammered by the transgender activists also. How dare Alyssa Milano say that women shouldn't use their vaginas until these abortion laws, these strict abortion laws, are overturned? Doesn't Alyssa Milano realize not all women have vaginas? And she actually got back to one of the people that said that and said, you're right, I'm sorry if I could, because you're not allowed to edit on Twitter. It's not like Facebook. Once you put something on Twitter, there is no editing. It's out there forever. So Alyssa Milano said, you're 100% right. I'm sorry about that. If I could have edited my tweet, I would have. But Alyssa Milano said that I realized that not all women anymore, not all women have vagina. And so I don't know how transgendered women would join Alyssa Milano here in this. Well, the ones that don't have vajayjays. I don't know how that, but she was feeling bad about leaving out that group. But man, I was going to say, was she hit hard over the weekend, but by Twitter posts. And what she said was, until women have legal control over our own bodies, we just cannot risk pregnancy. And then she wrote in all caps, join me, and then back to regular letters, by not having sex until we get bodily autonomy back. I wonder how many guys that affected over the weekend. Like, they went to their wives or their girlfriends and they said, come on, honey, it's Saturday night. And No, I'm a big Alyssa Milano fan. I'm not doing sex with you. Because we have to get our bodily autonomy back. Huh? So, and again, the critics are slamming her. They're the only ones, I guess. They're commenting that women's bodies are not commodities that can be denied to men as punishment. I mean, you cannot do that. As a feminist...
Hey, speak for yourself.
Well, hey, Brewster, let me tell you something. Some people are saying this is the left being out-leftied. Like, they're seeing how far left you can go to say you're offended by what committed political leftist Alyssa Milano is putting out there for you to digest.
Well, so to speak.
So, anyways, we'll see if she continues her her Twitter tirade. But that didn't go exactly the way I don't think that she planned, because she didn't think of all the people on the political left that were offended by what she said.
Well, it got her on this show, didn't it?
What happened to that woman? It's almost as if she fell down and hit her head. Because for how many years did we hear nothing from Alyssa Milano? I mean, 30 years. She was on that show, Who's the Boss? And then she was on that show with the witches. She was one of the witches. Charmed.
Okay.
And now all of a sudden we're hearing from her on all these political issues. And I like the old Alyssa Milano. I like the Alyssa Milano we like to enjoy on her television career.
Right. Where everything she said was scripted by Hollywood, ironically.
Well, now she's offending the political left. And I'm sure I know for a fact she didn't mean to do that, but all right. Coming up on the show, a musician from New Orleans did not play a scheduled gig he was supposed to play over the weekend. And I'm going to tell you why coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So New Orleans native Lil Wayne, if you don't like his music, okay. I'm not a fan. Although he has sold over 100 million albums, which is incredible, especially nowadays. People don't buy music anymore. But he was supposed to play at this festival this past weekend down in Miami. The Rolling Loud Music Festival, and that celebrates global hip-hop artists. And Lil Wayne was supposed to play, but he did not play. I mean, he was there. He was ready to go. You know why Lil Wayne said, no, I'm not playing? Because the United States Marshals Service were there. And they said, look, we need to frisk you, and we need to search you and your people over here and the bus you came in on before you play. And Lil Wayne said, I'm not going to let the United States Marshals search me. I mean, I'm Lil Wayne. I've been asked to headline here.
I'm Lil Wayne. You know what I got on me?
Yeah, I mean, they're playing at the football stadium there where the Miami Dolphins play. And he said, I'm here at the stadium. The stage is over there. Get out of my way. No. If you want to play here, we got to... So he said, nope, not playing. He drove down to Miami Beach, over to Miami Beach, and he played a small club. And also some rapper named Kodak Black. He not only was stopped, he was arrested for guns and drugs and perpetuating a stereotype. Coming up next, we look at today in history. We call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. Let's look at today in history. And on this radio show, we call the segment...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
May 13th. Monday the 13th.
Monday the 13th. May 13th, for no reason that anyone has any idea why. Boy, I could have done so much better on that sentence. I have English teachers... listening to me from beyond, thinking, boy, we really failed. And he must have been sick that day when he put that sentence together. Oh, that wasn't much better. Today, May 13th, happy National Apple Pie Day. What's not to love about apple pie?
Fantastic.
I would say my favorite fruit pie would be cherry, but apple would be And maybe even like a Dutch apple crumb pie would be a close second. Today is National Fruit Cocktail Day. Celebrate that how you will. And National Crouton Day. Croutons. And now back to you.
Nothing like stale bread. May 13th. It was today in 1981.
Why today doesn't suck.
The Pope got shot.
That's right.
Pope John Paul II.
And it killed him. Well, that didn't kill him, but...
Near the start of his weekly general audience in Rome's St. Peter's Square, Pope John Paul II is shot and seriously wounded while passing through the square in an open car. Now, that wasn't the Popemobile, was it?
Yeah, well...
The little Popemobile, was it open?
Yeah, it was a... What is the make of that? I'm going to look that up. But they believe that was the Popemobile. It just didn't have the bubble. It was the bubble as Popemobile.
Yeah, I was always a big fan of the Popemobile. The guy who shot him, the lunatic, a 23-year-old escaped Turkish murderer named Mehmet Ali Agca. He fired four shots. And one of them hit the Pope, and that's the same Pope who I'm glad he survived that, because after that he came here to New Orleans.
That's right. He had a hurricane, I believe.
May 13th. It was today in 1958.
Why today doesn't suck.
Vice President Richard Nixon was attacked in Venezuela by angry Venezuelans. Good thing we don't have a vice president down there now. Good thing Mike Pence isn't down in Venezuela now with everything that's going on down there with the socialism. People are starving to death and wars and riots and people are leaving. Today in 1958, anti-American demonstrators pelted Vice President Richard Nixon's limousine with rocks in Caracas. They just weren't happy with... They wanted to improve United States relations with Latin American countries. I don't know if throwing... rocks at the vice president of the United States as a way of doing that, but he survived that. Hey, today in 1975, the inventor...
Why today doesn't suck.
I never knew this. The inventor of Western swing dies. One of the founding fathers...
Bob
Wills.
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest country music fan, but... Bob Wills, one of the most influential musicians in the history of country western music, died today in 1975.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we always like to see people get their recognition, their credit that they should get on this radio show, even if I couldn't have told you that. And as I always like to say on this show, isn't it nice to learn something new?
Yes. Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys.
Yes, that was his band. See, now after the show, I'm going to go listen to them.
Mm-hmm. With the radio.com app.
That's right.
See what I did there?
I love learning new things. Well, Bob Wills died today, but somebody, a famous musician, was born today.
Yes.
Today in 1971. Not 1971.
No.
Today in 1950.
There.
Why today doesn't suck.
Stevie Wonder.
Yes.
Was born. He came of age today in 1971, but he was born today... In 1950.
Yes, little Steveland Wonder.
And unlike Ray Charles, Stevie Wonder was born blind. Ray Charles could see when he was born. He went blind as a young child.
Right.
But an incredibly talented musician, Stevie Wonder.
Yes.
You got any...
Well, hang on. I see you over there. Hang on.
I'm looking for Bob Wills and the Playboys now.
On the radio.com?
Yeah, that's what I'm...
It's free. It was on this date, May 13th in 2007.
Why today doesn't suck.
I don't recall this. 12 years ago, Queen guitarist Brian May was placed under 24-hour security watch after a schism. I had to reread this. Because here's what I saw the first time. Brian May was placed under 24-hour security watch... because he announced that he was schizophrenic. And then I had to go back and read it in a less dyslexic fashion. It was on this date, Queen guitarist Brian May was placed on 24-hour security watch after a schizophrenic man announced his intentions to murder him being Brian May. Do you recall that?
I don't remember that. And I was looking at my notes for today, and I saw that as well. I didn't get that Brian May was schizophrenic.
So you're saying my first item is a reject. Is that what you're saying?
No, but I saw this as some nut was trying to kill Brian May, but then you got to be careful with what you say. The guy had schizophrenia. You come out, be careful. You don't call him a nut. But that's
you kind of use that word in saying that you're not supposed to use that word. Mm. It gets people in trouble. It was on this date, May 13th, 1966.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The Rolling Stones released Paint It Black, which went on to reach number one in the U.S. and in the U.K. It was one of the first rock records to use a sitar. And I know that on the Beatles' Rubber Soul, which I believe came out in a year earlier, in 1965, is that right? Maybe I'm wrong about that. 66?
You're close.
Somewhere in that era. I know George used some sitar on that album. Birthdays today include the late, I know you're a big fan, B. Arthur, born on this date.
Hey, who didn't like B. Arthur?
I didn't. Also, Dennis Rodman. Would you like to feel old? Would you like to take a guess at how old Dennis Rodman is?
55.
Higher, 58 years old. Aye, aye, aye. Another birthday born on this date, or actually 1964.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Stephen Colbert. Just not a big fan, sorry. Also another superstar in the sports world, Joe Louis, born on this date. And also getting, like me, getting their start in Indianapolis. We wish a happily... Well, we say happy heavenly birthday when we think the person has died and gone on to bigger and better things. Up above, I would say this guy is burning in hell. Happy birthday. That's not even a happy birthday. Today, born on this date, the Reverend Jim Jones.
Oh, Jonestown.
Yes, Jonestown, the massacre at Guyana, where over 900 people drank. People say drank the Kool-Aid. It's actually, I think they used... the off-brand, the not generic brand, but the lesser brand, the number two brand behind Kool-Aid.
But
I can't think what it's called now.
Drinking the Kool-Aid sounds better.
It does. It is more universally known than using the other lesser product that I believe that they use.
Everyone there drank that stuff, Brewster, except for two people. Jim Jones was one of them, and the person who shot him and killed him in the head because he didn't have the... He saw the way all the other people were dying because when they drank the poison.
Well.
And so he didn't want to go out that way. So he told someone, hey, you shoot me in the head, then kill yourself.
Wait, what? No, he shot himself. No one shot Jim Jones. He shot himself.
Well, then he shot himself in the head. But
Didn't you see the movie with Powers Booth, the great actor?
But I think he was only one of two people there who didn't die from the poison in the drink.
Well, who was the other one?
I thought the person that shot him in the head because he didn't have the courage to shoot himself.
No, he shot himself in the head. That's in the movie. And in fact, when Dennis Miller had his radio show, one of the 3 hours started out with the line, "Come to me, my babies, let me quell your pain." That was a direct quote from Jim Jones during his psychotic rambling during the massacre. Because he left... a reel-to-reel tape rolling on everything. So they had that entire...
Oh, yeah, I've heard some of that. Yeah, it's creepy.
Yeah.
But he was still a coward, not being able to go out the way all the other... He told all the other people to go out.
Yeah, because that's... whether it's Kool-Aid or whatever kind of drink it is, cyanide, not a great way to go.
You know, and it's interesting because when you hear people in political speak say, hey, he's drinking the Kool-Aid, some people think that's racist. I've heard in recent years some people say,
some people think everything's racist.
Yeah, they say, well, black people drink Kool-Aid. Well, slow down here. No, when someone says drink the Kool-Aid, they're talking about Jim Jones, Jonestown, the crazy former preacher.
And on that rather sour note.
I got two more.
Okay, go ahead.
May 13th.
Get us out of the miasma here.
Today in 2011.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Rolling Stone magazine voted Like a Rolling Stone by Bob Dylan as the best ever song. Don't you think they had a... Don't you think they had a horse in that race?
I think they didn't ask me my opinion. It wouldn't have been that.
And finally...
Yes.
I thought this was interesting. May 13th. It happened today in 1898.
Why Today Doesn't
Wyatt
Suck.
Earp or somebody.
Nope. Thomas Edison files a lawsuit over the brand new motion picture technology.
Hmm.
Thomas Edison sued the American... Mutoscope Company.
Okay.
Claiming that the studio has infringed on his patent for the kinetograph.
Hmm.
Movie camera.
Okay.
I had no idea. So Thomas Edison said, look, I invented this thing. I got the patent right here. And now I got these motion picture companies, this movie company using my motion picture technology.
Right.
Get me a judge.
Well, and at the trial, he was his own first witness. Call Thomas Edison. It's like, well, okay. The defense rests because, I mean, who are you going to go against? Thomas Edison?
Yeah, right.
In the Thomas Edison trial? I mean, come on.
And that's a segment that we call...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
All right, coming up on the show, someone just wrote a piece. I'm going to share some of it with you about how it's time to start teaching our children to not be so offended by everything. How did we get to this point? Stay tuned for that coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. It happened again. It happens all the time. This time in Athens, Louisiana. A 25-year-old female choir teacher has been arrested for doing sex with a male student. I'm not excusing the teacher, but from what I hear, this kid was no choir boy. Coming up next, we're going to tell you about the company that is telling employees, we want you to quit. And not only will we pay you for 3 months, we want you to start your own business. And here's what we want you to start doing. Whoa! That's coming up on Bayou 95.7.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, Ann Lamarck Ford. How would you like it if your bosses at the company that you worked at gave you a proposition? They said to you, we will pay you not only 3 months' worth of salary if you quit, but we will also help pay for you to start your own business. We'll throw in another $10,000 on top of that to help you start your own business. You'd probably be thinking, huh? Well, the company is Amazon. And this is what Amazon is doing to their employees now. They are telling their employees, we will pay you if you quit your job. We'll give you 3 months worth of pay, and we'll give you $10,000 to start up your own business. That business being delivering Amazon packages. You see that? Amazon, they are trying to speed up their delivery, especially for their Amazon Prime customers. It's 2 days now. They want to get it to 1 day. And they think that this is one big way that they can get that done. Isn't that something? They made this offer to most of their employees, most of their full-time and part-time employees.
Well, I'll tell you what, something being an Amazon Prime member, I'm not sure about Sundays, but if you have something that is coming and that delivery day to fulfill it happens to be Saturday, guess what? They are there, and it's usually before 9:30 a.m. On Saturday, you'll see the Amazon Prime truck, and there it is.
With the
big box truck delivery places, they usually, I mean, this is for something that you haven't paid an exorbitant, you know, $50 to have it next day air or something like that. I'm talking about more or less standard delivery. Now, if you're a Prime member, you're paying a little bit more for that luxury. But, boy, that's nice if there's something that you're waiting for, a pair of shoes or something to wear on Saturday night. You don't have to wait till Monday morning.
Well, they want to see more of those Amazon Prime trucks. And so imagine if you work at Amazon and you work in one of the warehouses where it's physical work. You're loading trucks, you're taking stuff off of shelves, you're putting them on trucks. And they are offering this to their employees. Look, we will pay you to quit, because quit your job now. We'll pay you 3 months' salary of the job you just quit. Plus, here's $10,000 to help you start your own Amazon delivery business.
Wish somebody would pay me to quit. I'm sorry, is this on?
Hey, you know what, something that's interesting about this? The person who owns Amazon, I think he's the richest guy in the world now,
right.
Jeff Bezos, his divorce just went final. It only cost him about $68 billion. And when I say only, and it was very amicable, they had kids and they wanted, and they're still, you know, co-parenting, they're doing all of that. But they said this could have costed him a lot more. But he got off easy. It only cost him $68 billion, Jeff Bezos, in his divorce. And that's about half, not quite half of what he's worth. But this is a great idea for anyone. Maybe if you're listening right now, if you're not happy with your job or you know someone that's looking for a job, Amazon, they are hiring and they want people. And you could even, it's your own business. I mean, you're still working under the Amazon umbrella, but it's your own business. It's your own truck. It's your own van, but you got to put Amazon on the side. I think Amazon Prime. But they're looking for people.
Now, see, that's not funny. A text says, I'm in for $50 to get Brewster to quit. That's not funny. A standard data and message rate supply, by the way. That's not funny.
Texting is, we've opened up the text lines on this radio show.
We don't call it that, but sure.
Well,
we're going to spin some records next. What's the matter with you?
Let's see here. It's a new employee incentive. This is part of a program that Amazon started last year, and it will let any one of their employees apply to launch an independent Amazon delivery business. It's part of the company's plan to control more of its own deliveries on its own rather than rely on UPS or FedEx. I mean, Lord knows, I don't think they rely on the United States Postal Service, do they? They do right now, and they want to move away from that.
Well, but no, as I've mentioned, though, a lot of your big truck delivery places will, something will come to within your, it'll come as far as the main post office, and then it is handed over to the Postal Service for final delivery. Now, that's something that is... it's got to be smaller than a bread box, but oftentimes that is what happens. It is, it comes from one of the ABC, lettered named delivery outfits so far to this post office and then hand it over.
But here's the difference.
Because I like to mention that when you say, well, the post office is going away, it's dying, it's going to dry up tomorrow.
But here's the difference. Amazon makes piles of money And the United States Postal Service, they lost $7 billion last year.
Oh, but they have a new truck in the works. Did you see that? They're designing a new delivery truck, the USPS.
Maybe that'll cut into the losses.
Mm. See what they do for you?
Mm. What do you think about this, though? This is pretty wild. If you happen to be working for Amazon, it's like a good job, but it's hard work, and you're working in a factory, you're working in a warehouse, and your job right now is to work in those places, and you're loading the packages, unloading the packages, and you're taking it from the shelf, putting it in the truck. Now all of a sudden, you could own your own business again under the Amazon umbrella. You delivering the packages. Just think where they're going to be a year or 2 years from now. I guarantee you, a year or 2 years from now, you're going to see it's going to be all Amazon. They want to eliminate UPS. They want to eliminate FedEx. They want to eliminate the USPS, and they want to own it all. Rome wasn't built in a day. Either was Amazon. But I see an America in a couple of years, you're going to be seeing more Amazon vans and Amazon trucks on the streets than not only United States Post Office trucks,
right,
but FedEx trucks, fire trucks. All kinds of trucks.
Right. Why do you think it is that when you go to Walmart.com, that one of the options is to have it sent to an Amazon pickup station, you know, a kiosk or whatever you want to call it? Why do you think that is? Because of Amazon.com. It is They're changing the complexion of other companies on what they're doing.
And these are job opportunities for everybody, not just people who already work at Amazon. But you could say, hey, I want to do this, and they wouldn't stop you. They want as many Amazon delivery trucks on the streets as possible, and you would own your own business by doing that. And I mean, just think about what an incredible business that is. That they're willing to pay their own employees to quit, and will give you 3 months' salary when you don't have to work. And oh, by the way, here's $10,000 to start up your own Amazon delivery business. I think that's these are exciting times we're living in. You know, times always change. Times always change. And I remember when I was younger, and my grandparents and my older uncles and my aunts, you know, how they would say, you know, I'm glad I'm dying pretty soon. Look at these kids today. You know, it's crazy. You know, I'm getting old, you know. Don't you remember when
I don't have remember any relatives saying, what did you say?
Well, I'm ready to die.
I hope I'm dying soon. Or
well,
what?
Yeah, because this world is changing so much.
Wow.
You know, I can't keep up with it. You know, I remember when my older relatives used to say, boy, maybe I am ready to die because things are changing so much. I mean, look at when the 60s happened, Brewster. Look at when the 60s happened.
Music with this?
Well, yeah, it was great music in the 60s.
That tells a lot, though, that you come from a long line of defeatists that are ready to die. Are you sure that Osterlin's not French? Ready to surrender?
Well, I might have heard a couple of them say it, but you know, and I can understand how I'm getting older, but I never thought I would be, and I'm still not one of those people that say, "Boy, I can't take the way everything's changing so much. I'm ready to die." I'm not there, but.
Oh, well, that's debatable.
But these are exciting times we're living in. When you see something like this,
right?
Well, whether you're working Amazon or not, this is something that could be for you if you're listening right now.
So, how many of your relatives just gave up and said, "That's it, I'm ready to die"?
Do you have
a number?
Let's play
high low.
I don't have the exact list in front of me, but when you're I was trying to make a point. That's all I was trying to do. I was trying to make a point.
Are you saying I took the point the wrong way?
Yeah, I think these are exciting times we're living in. Hey, coming up next, wait till you hear the reason why this pilot was pulled off a plane over the weekend. This is incredible. That's next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. You know, you look at an airplane pilot, especially a commercial airplane pilot, if you fly a lot, you have a certain amount of respect for that person. That's why when I saw this story, I was like, huh? This past Friday, A bunch of people got on an American Airlines flight in Louisville, Kentucky, and they were going to go to Charlotte, North Carolina. But their flight was delayed. You want to know why? Police officers came onto the airplane and they dragged off the pilot who was supposed to be flying that plane.
Oh my God!
They dragged off the pilot because they arrested him for triple murder. He gets arrested on Friday when he's about to fly a plane full of people on American Airlines from Louisville to Charlotte. He gets arrested on Friday and pulled out of the cockpit for a 2015 triple homicide of three of his former neighbors. And this guy used to be an Army Ranger before he started flying commercially for American Airlines. Christian Richard Martin is his name. He's 51 years old, and he was arrested at the Louisville International Airport. Actually, he was arrested. They dragged him off the plane, I think, before they arrested him. He wasn't actually technically arrested on the plane in the cockpit. They dragged him off the plane, and then they arrested him in the airport on Friday. I mean, what's your reaction if you're I don't know how many people on the plane saw this guy dragged off, but that could be pretty frightening. Watching your pilot be dragged off the plane, and then you find out why. The arrest came one day after his indictment, so he was indicted on Thursday by a grand jury on murder and arson charges stemming from something that happened in November of 2015. The killings of three people, and then the house was burnt down.
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
Wow. Coming up next, Facebook wants to do something that most of its users, well, a majority of their users, say they're crazy if they do this. We'll tell you what that is. I'm Bayou 95.7.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So everybody knows the name Mark Zuckerberg. He invented Facebook. Do you know who co-founded it with him? Have you ever heard the name Chris Hughes? Chris Hughes is Facebook's co-founder. He made a lot of news last week. He wrote a long piece in the New York Times calling for the company's breakup. And it's something when you've got a co-founder of a company that says our company needs to be broken up. And it's very simple why he's saying that. And Mark Zuckerberg agrees with this too. It's impossible to compete with Facebook, because even if you start to come close, they will buy you. Just like they did with Instagram, right? Snapchat. Anything that comes close to messing around with Facebook and their gazillions of users, they will put out of business. They will buy them, because money is meaningless to Mark Zuckerberg and Chris Hughes. They literally print money. So, you know, when you look at our history in this country of breaking up monopolies, whether it's the phone company, Standard Oil, you go back, this is no different. Facebook is no different now, because you You cannot compete with them. No one can compete with Facebook. Because if you start to get close, they will buy you. And if you say, well, I'm not for sale, they will make you an offer that you can't refuse. They will be like Don Corleone of social media. So Chris Hughes, the co-founder of Facebook, you know, he says that, and okay, I can go along with that. But then he went on, and him and Mark Zuckerberg went to another level with this. They then want the United States government to regulate Facebook. Because they don't want the pressure on them, like the last election. How they took so much heat in the 2016 presidential election because of all the fake news that was spewing all over their platforms, and Facebook being the main one. I mean, if the government starts regulating social media, we're in trouble. And the problem is, that's exactly what Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook co-founder Chris Hughes, that's what they want. That's what they want. That's scary. That's scary stuff. Here's the thing. Social media firms are publishers. Just like newspapers, just like television news stations, news outlets, would you want the government to regulate what we read in newspapers and what we see the television news report? Of course you wouldn't. Of course you wouldn't. Do you realize in England, in the United Kingdom, you realize that if you work on the radio there, you work for the government? And if they don't want you to say something, you will not be allowed to say it? Could you imagine if things were, if our media was like that in this country? It's a nightmare. That's scary stuff. You know, it's one thing if the guys who own Facebook say, all right, if we're a monopoly, break us up, whatever the case may be. I mean, they're still multi-gazillionaires. But when you've got the guys, and I'm talking about Mark Zuckerberg and the Facebook co-founder, Chris Hughes, when you got them saying they want their business, social media, regulated by the government, they have just officially jumped the shark, as far as I'm concerned, and many, many, many others. Again, in my opinion, and it's just not my opinion, it's a fact, Facebook is a publisher. It doesn't matter that billions of other people publish on their website, on their platform, they are still a publisher. And the American approach to publishers is to let them decide what their content is, holding them legally responsible. And it's up to us, the consumers, to police a company's decisions on content. It's not the government's job. You know, this is scary. And I mean, there was a time when I still respected these guys, because look what they did. They created something from absolutely nothing. But now that they want the government to fix Facebook, the guys that brought us Facebook, there's something wrong with them. They're obviously very smart guys, but in this regard, they don't get it. And I think what they want is to be let off the hook when somebody goes on Facebook Live and starts shooting people in a church. When someone goes on Facebook Live and says, I'm going to shoot the next person I see walking down the street. These things have happened. And so Mark Zuckerberg and his co-founder, Chris Hughes, they're thinking, well, this would be a way to get us off the hook if god-awful things like that continue to happen. So there's two issues here. The first issue, Facebook needs to be broken up because no one can compete with them anymore. That's it's the textbook definition of a monopoly in the United States of America. And anyone who's come close to trying to competing with them, they just buy them. You know, you want to break up Facebook? That's one issue. Historically in this country, we've seen that happen before with monopolies. I don't have a big issue with that. I mean, I'm not thrilled with that. But I don't have that huge of an issue with that. But the fact,
the difference, and you could use you use the phone companies, most people do, as talking about
monopoly,
a breakup of a monopoly of a entity with a stranglehold on its field or its. The difference is that Facebook is still free, and will always be free. And so you can't really compare that to like the breakup of the phone company into the various baby bells. I don't know what this would look like. I don't have an opinion on this yet because I don't know what a government controlled Facebook would look like. Facebook is their own government. I don't see this happening anytime soon.
Well, they want it to happen. I don't want to confuse you. There are two issues here. One of them, breaking up the monopoly. Okay, that's fine. You want to do that? The second thing is then having the government regulate it. And that, to me, would drive me insane.
What does that mean, break up the monopoly, in terms of Facebook? What does that mean?
That other people would be able to challenge them with a social media platform, which they can't do now. Because when anybody gets close to challenging them, they just buy them. And everybody has a price tag, evidently. That's what that would mean.
If historically, in America, we break
up monopolies, that's fine.
But Instagram was a different thing, and it's not like Instagram was a straight down the line challenger to what Facebook was doing. Facebook just saw that as an opportunity to bring that under their umbrella. You mentioned Snapchat. Snapchat's not owned by Facebook.
They're not?
No.
Well, Instagram, what they had, because once a lot of younger people saw that their parents were on Facebook, they needed some place to go to get away from their parents.
And how smart was it for Facebook to just swallow up and buy Instagram? I don't think it was a rivalry thing. It was a diversification. I think that's the name for it.
Well, it's a monopoly now because you can't get in that business.
Well, you can, but you're not necessarily going to be too successful at it. It's not that you can't. I mean, you and I could start our own social network version of Facebook.
Yeah, and if we started doing well, Facebook would say, hey, we're going to buy you.
Well, there's no chance we would do well, number one.
Well, I'm just saying anybody.
Okay, but give me a direct competitor to Facebook that has even made a dent. There is none. Twitter is not Facebook and vice versa.
No, the only serious competitors they've ever had, Instagram, and even before that.
But Instagram was not a competitor of Facebook. It was a different thing. So it reached a different... It reached a different demo. It reached a different segment. It reached Instagram has never been about a status. Now the two circles have come together, and then where the circles meet, you have that common commonality about the two. But one is I don't look at Instagram as ever having been trying to do what Facebook does.
We'll have a conversation with that guy named Tom from MySpace who wears the white t-shirt all the time. And
but again, that was a place that was a competitor to MySpace, and Tom Anderson would be something more like not quite like a GoDaddy where you have your own domain, but it was a place for all your stuff. And Facebook is not so much, okay, Facebook is that, but people don't go to see other people's stuff on their thing. They see it within their own thing. It used to be called the wall, now it's called the timeline. What happened with The reason, in my view, why Tom Anderson failed with MySpace is it became all about 13, 14-year-old girls putting bling and stuff on their pages, and it turned out that no one wanted to go see your page. The only way to share things was for you to come into my open door. Hey, look in this door and see what I've done. See these songs I'm playing. See these posters I've put up. And nobody cared.
Well, I think that even the guys that own Facebook agree they've got a monopoly. Nobody can compete with them. You can't compete with them anymore. You can't compete with Google anymore, to be honest with you, Brewster. Nobody can compete
with
Google.
Well, no. That's
a search engine monopoly.
Similar, but not the same thing.
That's one
that
issue.
Makes sense.
That's one issue. Breaking up the monopoly. Okay, if that's what we do in America, all right, we've done it before. The second issue, though, him wanting then government to regulate it. No, that can never happen. Not social media. Please God, no.
Here next, we've got breaking news. See who died.
Here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock.
Hey, you see who died?
Breaking news. Doris Day.
When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. Que sera, sera.
Doris Day died. 97 years old, Doris Day. She was born Doris Mary Ann Kappelhoff in Cincinnati, Ohio. And, you know, a lot of people know her as a singer. Other people know her as an actress.
Right.
As a singer, she recorded more than 650 songs, which made her one of the most popular and acclaimed singers of the 20th century. And on top of that, she went from singing to being a movie star.
Yes.
And she starred in a bunch of movies that they show all the time on Turner Classic Movies.
Mm-hmm.
Her most famous leading men, or the leading men that she appeared with most often, were Rock Hudson and James Garner.
Yes. Classic pairing.
She was in did lots of other movies as well.
She had her own TV show on CBS in the late 60s.
Yes, she had to do that. She didn't want to do that. She was married four times. Her third husband, Marty Melcher, when he died in 1968, left her broke. She had no idea. Think about that. Doris Day in 1968 being broke after recording all of these songs and after being in so many of those movies.
Right.
When her husband, Marty Melcher, died, her third husband, she realized she was flat out broke. She had to go back to television.
Right.
To go to work.
And it was her son, Terry Melcher, the record producer, I guess you could say, worked with the Beach Boys some.
Yeah.
Who was supposed to be at the house at Coilo Drive on August 9th, 1969, when Sharon Tate and five other people were killed there.
Because
four other people.
He had just moved out. Terry Melcher was living in that house on Cielo Drive. He moved out. Manson had visited him in that house. And then Terry Melcher, as a record producer, the son of Doris Day, rejected Charles Manson.
Right.
Wow. R.I.P. Doris Day, if we could only all live to be 97 years old. And she was also a legendary animal activist as well. Here on Bayou 95.7.
My mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. We just mentioned, in case you're just joining us, a true American icon just died. And, you know, you hear that word maybe thrown around a little bit more than it needs to be. But there's no doubt about it. Doris Day was an American icon. She was in the music industry and in the movie industry. And she had passed away either last night or this morning at the age of 97. Someone else died over the weekend, too, from the Hollywood world. An actress named Peggy Lipton. And I, when I was a little kid, all I remember is she was the woman cop on this cool TV show with this white cop and this black cop with the coolest afro that I had ever seen in my life, called the Mod Squad.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was about 5 years old. And I
love that show.
Yeah, but she died over the weekend too, much, much, much younger than Doris Day. No. They come and they go. And I'm seeing the RIPs. And, you know, it's interesting. I'm seeing people now on social media. I just saw that millennials and the Gen Zers, they're not saving for retirement in large numbers because, well, they want to enjoy life while they're still young. They view their golden years as unimaginably far away. Okay, that's cool.
I got news for them. It'll be here sooner than you think.
But here's another reason, Brewster. They go on to social media and they see people they know, their friends, their cousins, their relatives. They see their friends' social media posts enjoying things like new cars, going out to dinner all the time, pictures from when they're on vacation all the time. And a lot of the younger Americans, again, millennials and Generation Zers, Gen Zers, they're trying to keep up with the Instagram, to keep up with social media. That's what they're trying to do. And a lot of them are going into debt because, you know, people don't tell you their real life story when you follow them on Facebook or Instagram or wherever. They just tell you what they want you to see. I mean, how many times have you seen someone get divorced in the last couple of years and say, what do you mean divorced? Every time I turn on Facebook, you and your wife and you and your husband, you're all having such a great time. I can't believe you're getting divorced. I didn't see any of this. But now the younger folks, they're seeing people on vacation all the time. They're seeing people driving around in cars. And these are their friends and their family members and their cousins. And they're like, I got to try to keep up with this. You know, people used to try to keep up with the Joneses. Now they're trying to keep up with the Instagrams. And that's why many, many people in younger generations, they're just not saving anything. And they got to go there and they got to be just like their friends and their family members who they see. Hey, and speaking of social media, I saw this over the weekend. This cracked me up. So yesterday, the baseball team, the San Diego Padres, to celebrate Mother's Day, for one day, they changed their name from the Padres, the fathers, to the Madres, the mothers. And in doing so, that included changing their Twitter handle. They used to be at Padres, and they changed it for Mother's Day to at Madres. Here's the problem with that.
Let me guess, lack of research.
Yeah, because when you change a Twitter handle, there's no way it can be saved. As soon as a Padre fan saw that they changed their name to the Madres, what did he go and do? He went and he got at Padres.
At Padres, right.
He's a Padre friend named Ricky Padilla or Padilla or Padilla. I'm guessing right.
Ricky. Ricky.
And as soon as he saw that the Padres changed their Twitter handle from at Padres to at Madres, he went and gobbled up the at Padres. Now, I don't know if there's going to be a bidding war. I don't know what he's going to do. But people are sending him requests. They're like, hey, you got this handle. Can you give me free tickets? They're sending him all kinds of stuff. We'll see how this plays out.
And then, also sports related, in something you don't see every day, Albert Pujols of the what are the Angels called now?
Los Angeles,
California, Anaheim, mm-hmm. of whatever. He got his 3,000th hit. Was that right?
No, he got his, I think, 2,000th RBI.
Okay. 2,000 or 3,000?
I think the RBI was 2,000. I'll have to double check on that.
But the upshot of the story is it was a home run. Right? I have this right?
I think you got it right, yeah.
And the fan in the stands refused to give the ball back.
That's right.
They were playing the Detroit Tigers. I'm not sure. I think this was in Detroit.
In Detroit.
And so generally what happens with that, and because my Cincinnati Reds have had a couple of players get their first major league hit. And so what happens is they normally call time anyway, and somebody will motion over and say, hey, can we have that ball? Nick Senzel, first-time starter for the Reds, got his first hit. They saved the ball, got it to him, take it out of play so it can be a memento. This guy was not going to give the ball up. The Tigers offered him all kinds of stuff. The Angels offer him all kinds of stuff.
A bat, jersey, whatever,
you
yeah,
want.
Yeah.
Tickets, club, club seats, whatever. He said that the Tigers treated him so badly is that I'm going to keep it. So he keeps the ball. What's the problem with that? There's no certificate of authenticity to prove that that's the ball.
That's a good point.
You've got to. I mean, he's pretty much screwed himself.
But what he said to the media, he goes, his other quote was, and I'm quoting here. He said, "quote I came here for a ball game and a beer."
Right.
That's what he said. I don't want to get involved in any of all
this.
Not
to be part of history.
Yeah, all of this run around.
Right.
But yeah, 2,000 RBIs. That was Albert Pujols. Okay. And it was a home run, you're right. And the guy was just not, he was not having any of it. And Pujols, did you hear what he said?
I did not. I missed that.
He said, hey, I respect him. If he wants to do that, that's his. You know, I'll keep my 2001 RBI ball if I can.
Right. Because you figure, I mean, somebody like Pujols is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer when he retires, plus 5 years, whenever he decides to retire. You know, a kid like Nick Senzel, that's a big deal. His first ever major league hit, or anybody else who's gotten their first hit this year.
So instead of just a ball game and a beer, he got a ball game, a beer, and a historic ball.
Well, he could have had a ball game, a beer, and a big payday if he'd wanted it.
Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. We told you on the show last week, there is now a worldwide shortage of helium. That's a fact. Economists say how this affects the price of balloons depends on the rate of inflation. Hey, did you see this? The United States Army has broken out some new uniforms. Throwbacks. Throwback Army uniforms to the classic World War II design. How cool is that? Hey, you see it in baseball a lot. Hey, throwback weekend or throwback day when baseball teams will wear their throwback uniforms. Well, now the United States Army planning to roll out new uniforms, and they look very similar to ones that the members have worn in the past. The guys in World War II and the Korean War. Those are kind of the same uniforms if you're a military buff. It looks like the United States Army is going back, throwing back to their World War II era uniforms. And I think that's a great idea. I love history, and I love when we pay tribute to history like that. And when it comes to the military, what a great way to pay tribute. If you're thinking right now, do you have a favorite United States Army uniform? What era? Come on, let's not go back to like the Revolutionary War or the Civil War or things like that. I'll take the World War II ones any day of the week. Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Many young South Korean adults are not dating. They're not dating. And they're saying the reasons It's either too expensive or too dangerous. Now, remember, this is South Korea. I'm not talking about North Korea.
Right. It's been a while, but I can concur with the too expensive part. I remember it being very expensive.
Yeah, there's some people went over to the Sejong University in Seoul, South Korea, and they were talking to some college students there and even people a little bit older than them, and they just said, look, it's getting out of control. It's either too expensive or it's become so dangerous that, and look, we were looking for love and we like doing sex and things like that. And they were asking people, it's just, we're giving up. Can you imagine giving up at such a young age, or at least you can't call that giving up. You could say, I'll delay what's going to happen in the future, but.
Well, what do you call what you're doing?
I just haven't found, you know, the one. I mean, I've had, you know, other ones, but just haven't found, you know, the one. And now looking back on my life,
do you speak any Korean? Well, no, that's not going to help.
Yeah, because maybe my age bracket might be the age where these people start finally saying, hey, I'm going to, but isn't that something though?
Or start Social Security at your age.
And Albert Einstein probably could have battled Thomas Edison in court. That would have been an interesting battle.
Good call.
Thanks for listening to the show. We appreciate it. Ginty is next. Ginty! We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.